Welcome to this episode of The Good Fork with host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby. We're bringing you interesting conversations, interesting people with a plant-based twist. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Good Fork. I am here with the amazing Francis Gonzalez of Vegan Wines. It is an all-vegan wine club and distribution that brings in wines from all over the world. So today we are going to talk about a lot of things that I'm super, super excited because I think a lot of people don't really realize when they go vegan that wine isn't always vegan. So before we even get started and I introduce Francis, vegan wines is one of the things. Vegans, baby. So Francis, hello. Thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me. So great to see you.
Francis also founded VegFest Puerto Rico, so we actually got to hang out in Puerto Rico a little more than a year ago at VegFest. So a lot has gone on since then, and I want to hear all about it, and I want to share everything. But first, I think let's talk about wines, because I think a lot of people, myself included, don't really realize all the crap that's in their wines. So can you, what makes wine not vegan?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into wine that shouldn't be there, but we can start at the soil. In the soil, there's that's where the grapes come from, right? So you have the fish fertilizer, you have the animal manure, and the animal manure pretty much comes from slaughterhouses. And then after that, you go into the winemaking. The winemaking has, they use casein, they use fish bladder, and egg whites. It's all to take the sediments out of the wine, which it doesn't even call for it, because if you use patience, it does it on its own. But this is just to speed up the process.
So, but okay, why does wine need to be filtered like that anyway? What's the point?
Well, the sediments, you know, sometimes when you're in a bottle, you see at the bottom the sediments, it doesn't do anything to the taste. But also if it's that harvest, or if you want to make the wine sweeter, there's also, they, you know, not all sugar is vegan as well, so they add sugar as well. It's just to make it seem like the wine that you think you want to taste. So it takes, they just take all the character out and just make it commercial. So this is just to get it out and keep selling.
And fish guts do that?
Yep, according to them, but it doesn't. But according to them, that's one of the things to just cut in time, the winemaking, the fining.
So is it safe to say that a lot of wine we see in the grocery stores that's like mass produced wine is not vegan?
Yeah, it's not, because in order to make so much wine out of a harvest, you're not gonna take out the time to make sure you have a good harvest, and then that means that you have to cut corners to get it out there. So these are all the chemicals and ingredients that they use.
It makes me so sad, because I love wine, and you know, a lot of restaurants you go and order wine, and there's not like they know if it's vegan. You know, wine bottles aren't always labeled vegan. So if you're at a restaurant or you're at a grocery store, how do you know what's vegan?
You don't. That's, you know, wine is food if you really think about it, because it comes from grapes, and it's the one thing that does not need by law to have ingredients on the label. So if people were to read what's on that label, I don't know, that wouldn't be good for the wine industry. But basically you have to go to the winery and you have to research it yourself if you want to make sure it's from the soil up, because right now there is a vegan certification in the US, but it's not from the soil, it's from the winemaking. And you know, when I go to Europe, a lot of times they go, why is it that you guys do it from the making and not the soil. So even they're asking why we don't consider it from the soil up vegan. So it depends. We have not, there's not one that goes from the soil yet for certifications that I've seen in the US yet.
Because I don't think people really think about it. You know, like I've got wine and it wouldn't ever cross my mind that there's all that shit in it. You know, like I'm like, especially like the higher end wines where, you know, you're looking at, I don't know, 40, 50, up, up, up. Like I would think that those wines wouldn't be filtering their wine with egg white and with, you know, fish guts and stuff. Is it, why, I mean, for companies like that, that are expensive and higher end, they're still, what, cutting corners to do this?
Well, there's also the belief that this is, you know, there's a, I won't mention the name, but there's a wine that is very well known. And mm-hmm. when I went to visit them, they really believed in their hearts that they need fish fertilizer in their soil in order to make it work. Yeah. You know, they don't believe in what we believe in. So it's not the time about cutting corners, is what they believe is going to make the best wine. And sometimes when they filter, they use Benedict clay, which that is, you know, considered vegan, or they use filter. Like when you have an air conditioner, the filter, they use that material. So that's another way to find as well. And we do see more and more people are using it. And it is less expensive anyway than the animal products. So.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. It just, it's frustrating. So is that what led you to start vegan wines? You know, it's, you know, you went vegan, and was it because you were going out and you couldn't find vegan wine? What was the catalyst of launching this amazing business? And there's so many reasons I love what you do, and the fact that you're making it, we have very similar goals. Like my goal is to make it easier to be vegan and to do stuff and to make food more approachable. And you're here and you're making it easier to be vegan by showing people what vegan wines are.
Yeah.
So
I want to show the world that you want to show that the world that being a vegan is still fun. We're still people having fun and eating good and drinking good. And that's one of the things that I want to showcase. I was in France and we were at a tasting, and all of a sudden I heard the word egg whites, and I've been already like a vegan for 20 years. I'm like, and drinking wine, because that's what I love. And I'm like, egg whites, okay. So that turned into, it was my birthday trip. So it turned into a research trip. Mm-hmm. And I was like going to so many vineyards, just asking all these questions. Eric was going in the car and sleeping because he couldn't take it anymore.
You're just going to drink and then all of a sudden there's you.
He was driving, I was tasting and drinking, and I was trying to figure out the people, the winemakers that were using less and the winemakers that were using more, like to see, taste the difference, to see what was the big hype of using all these animal products, you know? Mm-hmm. But then when I got home, I was like, we got this here. And I went and Googled vegan wines. I was like, oh, no, we don't. And the domain was open. So I was like, okay, that's a cue for me to start. And I did, without knowing anything in the wine industry, except that I love wine and I love being a vegan.
So what do you do? Like, you start this,
it was just like, because I knew, if I've been a vegan for so long and I didn't know, imagine how many other vegans or even not non-vegans didn't know, because a lot of people just don't know. So I started saying, okay, I'm going to hear it from the source. So I started visiting the winemakers and the wineries in California. And it was, at first, it was a lot of like looking at me weird. But as I told them that I'm not looking for certification, I just want to know what you do, why you do it, and how you do it. And they started being more open to it. And the more I learned about it, the more I fell in love with it, Diana. It was just like, it's like when you know, a chef, when they create something, it's like art. I feel the same way about wine. It goes, everyone is so different. And the more I study with them, the more I learned. And that's how vegan wines became.
So how do you find your wines? How do you find your wines?
Well, I started in, okay. So started in California because that's where I got my license. Very, you know, very straightforward on that one. Then for importing, started in France. And just because I love France, you know, I love French wines. Then after that, I just decided, okay, let's try Italy now. And then Chile was on by mistake because that I met the winemaker in New York and I fell in love. It was like, I swear, it was like 200 wine producers at that event and I only chose one. And then I said, because I have to go to every vineyard in order to research it before I even decide. Well, first I had to taste them, but then after that, and when I went to Chile, he introduced me to some of his friends and it just became like a family thing. And they all, they're like the new winemakers, you know, the new millennial winemakers trying to also prove that Chile can make wines with their traditional grapes. So they want to hold the true character. So no animal products. They just want to hold the true character. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just leading up to it. France and Italy, because I love their wines, and Chile was a beautiful, you know, like just all of a sudden, okay, here we go, Chile. And now we're going into Greece because I've met a couple that's winemakers that make beautiful wine and from Greece. And I go by there. That's how I go, by whatever I find. And I trust my guts and go from there. I study the grapes to make sure that this is something that people will be open to as well, you know. Yeah, so it's an adventure. It's an adventure, that's for sure.
So you pick every wine that you bring into Vegan Wines?
Yes.
Terrible job. I mean, I can't imagine having to go to these wineries all over the world and drink wine. And, you know, I mean, are they pairing it with like vegan cheese for you when you go do these tastings?
Oh, one of the things that I am so sad about with everything going on right now is I was supposed to be in Chile right now. And one of the main, as soon as I got off the airport, they were going to pick me up and we were going to have a dinner with all the winemakers we partnered with. And it was good. Of course, every meal I have is vegan. That they have such a spread for me every time in Italy, in France, in Chile. It's amazing. I think I gain weight every time I go to these places.
No.
But they go out their way, and they, not all of them are vegan, the winemakers, but they understand, and it's very important for me too. It's not just, okay, the wine tastes good, you don't use animal products, but how are you as a person? Why are you doing this? You know, that's also very important. And I find that they're not vegan yet. I still, you know, some of them start showing me photos of at home that they have their wine with a vegan plant-based dish, you know, and we're learning from each other. That's the way I see it. But they always have good spreads, man. I eat good.
I do want to come with you on a trip one day. Like, I would really like to go. So the world opens up again, maybe we can do a winery tour for Vegan World Tours and do something together where we go like drink wine and eat vegan food in a country and just like do a wine tour.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome. We were going to do something like that, but it was a bed and breakfast, vegan bed and breakfast that just opened up in Tuscany. And they only have 5 or 6 guest rooms. And then, so it's on pause for now. So we'll talk more about that.
That's amazing. So have you found that like maybe there's one or like a country that tends to be more vegan when it comes to wines where they're not using a lot of products in it? Like for some reason in my mind, like I imagine France, like if I get a bottle of French wine, it'll be vegan.
That one's a little harder. Although you can find the delicious food, it's harder to do. Like I would say, honestly, Italy, out of the ones Yeah, Italy. Okay. Yeah. It's funny because I went to Lecce, which we found this vegan wine. They did everything for 3 years to make sure everything was up to par. They went from non-vegan soil, non-vegan wine to vegan soil and vegan wine. It took them 3 years. And we went there. Eric and I ate so much plant-based food. Oh my gosh, it was heaven. But that was the only one wine in that part of the country that was vegan. And every restaurant I went to just had that wine. That's it. Because they use casein in their winemaking in that part. So it depends also what parts of the country, but where we went to Umbria and Tuscany, all of those, they're basically all vegan. Like they don't, yeah, for sure.
What about in the States? Like if I want to go, you know, to one of the wineries, you know, California, Washington, Oregon, are a lot of those vegan or no?
The smaller wineries are. That's why a lot of the wineries that we work with, we could only feature them in our wine club and not on the wine store because they could only give us a certain amount of cases. So it's ones that produce like 10, like 1,000 cases or less a year. Because once again, they don't have the money to fund an extra products, however they may be, and a lot of them just want to save Earth. Like they want to be part of saving the environment, so they don't believe in putting all these chemicals and animal products in them. So I would say the smaller wineries tend to have more of these vegan wines because they have more patience. And they're not trying to rush everything. And they have to live, they have to build their name. You know, they don't have this big media, you know, funds and you know, budget. They have to go by, okay, this is a good wine. Here, I'm giving you a good wine. This is why I'm going to make sure I'm giving you a great tasting wine. And yeah, that's what I found with Oregon, California. Those are the only ones that I've worked with so far.
Yeah. So let's plug a couple real quick. What are some of your favorite, like, stateside wines?
Ballantine in California and Fogline in California. They're both in Sonoma. We have... there's a new one that I can't name just yet because the wine club members have to get it first. Okay. But he's in California. He's only 32 years old and he only produces 300 cases.
That's amazing. And is he vegan or he just happens to make vegan wine?
He just happens to want to save the environment.
I love it. That's amazing. So if you want to be a part of the wine club, you can head over to veganwines.com. And check it out. Is this what you were maybe talking to me about in email?
Oh no, that one is the one that we're gonna import, but it's beautiful, beautiful wines. We've been so lucky that now, you know, when I first started, people were very hesitant to work with me just because as soon as they heard the word vegan, they like wanted to shut the door, you know? Yeah. Now we're getting people that go and ask us and email us, which is amazing that they want, you know what it is to hear that a wine producer that loves his or her wines, you know, and put all this hard work into it, say, I want vegan wine to represent us in the States. It's like, yeah, it's like so amazing. So we met this French couple from France in the wine expo that happened like in March in New York. And we were planning on doing our trip to France, but we can't now. But I got to meet them. I got to taste the wines and I got to taste the wines in New York. And they sent me samples afterwards. And then they sent me every document of what they put into everything. So, and it's a friendly price, which it means a lot right now, you know, for it to be friendly prices. So they have some amazing rosés. Oh my gosh, wait. And they have our first natural wine that we're going to be having on our profile, because natural wines and vegan wines are two totally different things.
What's a natural wine?
Natural wines is when they don't use even sulfites in it. It's just plain, naked as possible, but in the winemaking. But it doesn't do anything with the soil, because they could still put animal manure in it. I think they use fish fertilizer though, but they consider animal manure natural, so they'll put it into the soil. And so natural wines is probably the closest thing that you're going to get to vegan wines. If I go to a restaurant, I usually start from there. If they don't have any, I'll start with the natural wines and then always go to the smaller wineries as well, because then that takes. But yeah, so excited about some of these wines coming in from France.
So I want to get back to this, but a question: can you taste the difference between natural, vegan, and non-vegan wines?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Really? Okay.
A lot of the times, you know, when people approach me, I ask them to send me samples, and I even wait 2 weeks after the wines arrive to let everything settle, to make sure that what I'm tasting is nothing that, you know, because wines can go to sleep where you can't taste them. But you taste, you know, when you taste the alcohol, when you're drinking wine, you go down the throat and then you feel the alcohol. That's a lot of stuff in it that shouldn't be in it, you know? So you wake up, I could drink a bottle of wine easily that is vegan and natural and wake up and still be able to do my jog in the morning, you know? But when you drink a glass, or if you just drink a glass and you're already tipsy, like really tipsy, that also, those are little things that show you that there's things in there that shouldn't be in there. If you're drinking a good vegan natural wine, it should just be a very nice journey, you know what I mean? You're not supposed to get drunk off of it. I mean,
eventually you will.
Eventually, yeah. Or get a headache in the morning, you know, unless you didn't drink water. So always remember, if you don't drink water, that's another reason you'll get these, you know, headaches. It's not the sulfites like people believe. So you can taste it. I mean, I can. I definitely can. I taste. There's wines that I'm like, take one sip and I'm like, ugh. And I look it up, I'm like, yep, there you go.
Are wines less alcohol content, or it's just, it hits you different?
Yeah, no, it's, we have a wine from Italy that is 16% alcohol.
Oh God.
Yes. And the reason is because he is, it was a very hot summer. So the harvest, you know, the hotter the summer, the harvest, it ripens the sugar, the grapes faster. So you get higher sugar content, you get higher alcohol content. So he calls his wines rock and roll, and they are. But he tries to stay so true to nature that he's not going to do anything to make that sugar content go lower. So you'll see 16% and you're like, oh my gosh, but you don't taste it. But then you'll drink a 12% alcohol percentage and you taste the wine and you get tipsy off that 12% versus that 16%. So it's the winemaking balance on what makes a good wine. It's not the alcohol percentage, because it has a lot to do with the sugar and the harvest, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So how many wines do you have right now? Because I know, like, you and I have been working together a long time at this point. Yeah. And I love your wines. It's just that, especially right now, you know, this is going to air a little bit later on the podcast, but I don't really want to go out to a grocery store and buy wines. And in Vegas, we have yet to have wines delivered to us. There's, I think, maybe one or two stores that you can, but your minimum is like $100 to order to have it delivered to you.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, you have come through and I have gotten wines, and it's just, it's a really nice thing to have. And I know you know, you're sourcing these wines from all over the world. So how many do you have right now? So if I go to veganwines.com right now and go look at, you know, join your wine club, how many wines do you have? And also I want to know how the club works as well for people.
Thank you. Oh yeah, that's, well, we have 43 wines now in our inventory, in our wine portfolio. So, and we've been growing a lot. So that, but with the same producers. Because and the wine club. Okay, so the wine club is going on its last shipment for now for 3 months because of the heat. It goes three times a year. Yeah, and it just, you don't want to get bad wine. No, and so, sometimes
it's bottle that, like, I opened it and it was just like 100 degrees already, especially in Nevada. Like,
exactly. And it leaves from California. So our wines. And so it's quarterly and you get it with each one is paired with a recipe. So each wine we pair it with a recipe and we give it to digital because we're trying to cut the paper costs and I mean the papers as well. So we do it all digital. We give a little story about each winemaker. Mm-hmm. If let's say it's six wines quarterly. So let's say that out of those six wines, one you really don't want. So we put up top two or three wines that you can swap and it'll still keep it at the same price range. Mm-hmm. So, and then we also pair, it's your choice if you want to add a pairing of Miyoko's cheese or Retopian.
Or what was the other one? Sorry, I cut you off. Utopian? Mm-hmm. What is that?
Utopian is based out of Oregon. Okay. And she's amazing. The Stein is her name. And she makes these amazing cheeses as well, you know. And she's vegan and she is an animal rescuer. And they're Miyoko's cheese and her cheese are very different in flavors as well. They have different flavors. So we swap it. We go one, we do Miyoko's, the other one, we do Vitopian, and we just swap the two. And since the last month, we've been getting a lot of wine club members that want cheese.
Cool. We actually have a local vegan butcher here, No Butcher. And if you could do like a wine and cheese pairing with like a charcuterie plate with your wine.
Oh gosh, yes. That would be amazing. There's one that I'm looking into because they're based out of California as well. Because that would be great, you know, just to do that pairing, especially with the nice days coming out, do your own little picnic outside.
You're in New York, but I just want to clarify, Frances, you're in New York, so you're going to have nice days. Like, we already hit 100 degrees. We broke our record for April or, like, May or something already. So,
really?
I mean, it's beautiful now. I turned my air conditioning off and the windows are open, but that is very, very short-lived.
Well, we had snow the other day. We had snow in spring. And we also had hail the next day. So one day snow, the next day hail. We had to record it because you wouldn't believe it.
Everything about like the second quarter of 2020 has just been weird as shit. Like, I don't even know how, like, you just look at it and you're like, huh, okay. And honestly, like, I thought I was gonna drink a lot. Like, that was like when the shutdown happened in Vegas, like, I really went to Whole Foods and got the one vegan wine I know and bought like bottles of it. Okay, like, how am I gonna do this? And it's like, all right. And I was like, okay, a bottle a day for how many days? And then I got home and I'm like, you can't do that. Like, what do you know? But so I've been very actually conservative during all this. I think maybe I maybe average like a glass or two a week right now. Because, well, it's only because like I'm stuck by myself and, you know, I love a good glass of wine, but I also don't wanna waste a good bottle of wine. So I'm like, don't open it because you don't want to drink the whole bottle. You only want a glass. And if you're not going to drink for another week, like, don't open your bottle. You know, just wait till you really want it or wait, you know, just wait. So that's kind of been like my rationale with all of this. Like, I don't know what I'm waiting for. But I'm just, I don't want to waste a bottle and I don't necessarily want to drink a bottle because I like waking up like at 6 in the morning and having my productive days. But I mean, I'm also just sitting at my house watching Netflix. So
me too. It's the new thing, right? And popcorn. I like popcorn too with my wine. We're actually, because it's what you say, you don't want to drink a whole bottle. You know, we are having, we're getting our first champagne, vegan champagne.
Wait, what are they putting in vegan champagne to make it not vegan? Or what are they putting in champagne to make it not vegan? The same?
The same, but triple sometimes. So, yeah. When we went to Champagne, a book that was given to us with the ingredients for the soil, it all had animal manure in it. So, yeah. So we met this one producer that he's the very first one in France to be certified vegan. And this was even before there was any vegan certification for wines. So he had to go through the food vegan. And I said, so what did you change? He goes, nothing. This is just the way we always did it. We just never put anything in there. And he had his vineyard, and next to him, he had their neighbor's vineyard. You can see the difference.
Really?
In
the based on the soil?
Based on the soil and the chemicals that they put. One, the vegan guy, he doesn't do anything, and he just lets it go because that's what they've been doing generations. If you let nature be nature and do her thing, she will do you right. And the more it's the same thing with the fertilizers for fruits, for veggies, for everything. The more we keep putting all these chemicals on it, and the more it's going to backlash on us. And we gotta keep putting more, and they feel like it could be more and more. So the ones that I find is that the ones that don't touch it, that they just been generation to generation, that they just been doing it with nothing on it. No, some of them don't even use fertilizer. They take whatever they didn't use the last harvest, and they make it into green manure, and boom, there you go. That's it. So you can taste all that. You can taste all that in the wine. You can taste it because you can taste the harvest. You know, you don't want one wine 2015 to taste like 2016. You want to taste the difference. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, but we're really excited about the champagne. He has to have bottles. So yeah. So instead of having a whole bottle, you got two glasses versus four.
Here's my problem with champagne is that I'm gonna sound so lame. I can't open the bottle. Like I went to Italy a few, like 5 years ago on a press trip, and they literally gave us bottles of Lambrusco every day. We had like bottles to take home, and they were real nice bottles. So I got back, I was living in London, and I got back and I was like, I'm gonna have a glass of Lambrusco, and I couldn't open the damn thing.
Maybe it was their fork. Maybe it wasn't you.
No. But it made me scared. So what's the trick to opening a bottle of champagne just for everybody? Also me, mostly me, but.
Well, first of all, take it away from your face, you know, make sure.
Do you like put it between your legs? What's the trick?
Well, you have to hold the cork. So you put it away from your face, hold the cork. And there's a little the aluminum that you twist off, and it comes out. But you hold it so it doesn't like pop out where it shouldn't pop out.
So I'm not pulling the cork. If I twist the little metal thing, right, it's just gonna open.
It should still. It's just maybe just a little tap on it, but you shouldn't have to do it like forcefully.
Okay, good to know. So I'm gonna be patient with you. I was so upset when I had this bottle. I'm like, I'm just going to open it. And I went to open it and I couldn't. I'm like, shit. Like, what am I going to do? So I just put it back in the fridge and was sad. And then I waited till like I had someone to open it for me.
Was it easy for them to open it? Did it take them?
Everybody to open but me. Like, for some reason, I cannot open bottles I can't open bottles.
Nervous, so you're really not pushing. You're like pulling it back in.
Who knows what I'm doing? Honestly, like next time I see you, you're just gonna teach me how to do it. Cause now it's like my mission is to learn how to open a champagne bottle so I can drink it by myself.
Yeah, we'll do it together. Even if it's on Zoom or video, we'll do it together. Pop it together.
Love it. I love it. So, okay, let's go. So you have champagne now. Are there any other new things you're bringing in?
We may be bringing a cava too from Spain, and we're bringing in the Puerto Rico, remember the cacao wine? She finally got the label, so we're going to be bringing it in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I want to talk about Puerto Rico with you as well. So, I love that cacao was amazing. That whole farm was incredible. But when we went to Puerto Rico, like you showed us around, and it was what? How long after the hurricane did we go?
A year later.
A year later. And I think what I saw was, and what you, I think, were trying to show us was how much the country had started to grow and harvest their own products. And I want to talk about that a little because I think it's interesting because, you know, right now in from what I've seen in America, as people have been in quarantine, they've started to grow their own.
Yes.
So Puerto Rico has this lush, incredible land. And I think it was something the farmer we were with had talked about when the hurricane came, it burned everything because of the wind. And then everything, like I'm getting chills talking about it, like then everything grew back.
Yes, it did. So, strong.
Yeah. How? What? Like what? What? So now after the hurricane in Puerto Rico, have you noticed more people are growing their own products? Have you noticed like an uptick of people going plant-based?
Yes. Especially Puerto Rico has been through so much. I mean, they went through the hurricane, then they went through the earthquake, and now they're in this, you know. They want to be able to sustain themselves. That's their main thing. So there's a lot of farmers, and it's also a younger generation that's doing a lot of this. And right now we're featuring it's going to be four chefs, vegan chefs in Puerto Rico, because the restaurants are growing there. There's so many restaurants, vegan restaurants.
Oh, we have to go back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So we're featuring in our blog, we're going to feature some Puerto Rican chefs with our traditional Puerto Rican dishes, but vegan style, because they're going to do a pernil without the animal meat. They're going to do it with jackfruit, you know? So they've been changing so much over there. I mean, it's very welcoming. They welcome you now. When I started being a vegan, I was the weird one. How do you mean you don't eat, you know, this and that? You're Puerto Rican, you know, you're supposed to eat it. Now it's more like, no, so tell me more about it. You know, I want to learn more. Or they're doing it, you know, and they teach us how to do, you know, some Puerto Rican dishes vegan style. I love it.
That's amazing. And so you're bringing in this cacao wine. Any other new wines you're bringing in?
We're bringing in that one, the French, two winemakers from, we started working with in France. And so what we did was, you know, part of our goal is also, it's a lot more details, like with the wine bottles to make them lighter and things like that, more eco-friendly, but also I want to find people that I can trust in these countries that can do what I'm doing. So I don't have to keep going and flying back and forth and putting those, even though I want to, but imagine if I have to keep visiting every vineyard. And then as soon as I leave Italy, there's another person, you know, it's just, so we partnered with Assam in Italy. Okay. And we did a trip with him, and he visited the vineyards with us. So he understands exactly what we're looking for. And his taste is amazing. Like he's picked three wines. So yeah. So as soon as I can get on a plane, I'm going to go over there. But for those are the ones that we have that are lined up to be coming soon.
I'm so excited for this. So when's the last, this is going to air probably in June, early July. Will it be too late by then to order wines?
No, actually that's when we'll be getting the wines in. Around June. Yeah. So we'll be getting a new wine from same winemaker we work with, but orange wine. We're going to, Yes, delicious. We're getting in another wine. We're getting in about altogether about 12 new wines.
And from, so people can order year round.
Oh, yeah, because it's an online wine store.
Just the wine club only has 3 shipments a year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And also the wine club, the difference between the wine clubs and the wine store is that, like I was telling you, the smaller wineries that they could only give me a limited, those go to the wine club members. But most of the wines that we do import, they're always online because we're the sole importers. And the shop is open 24/7.
Well, so if I order wine today, I'll get it in what, 2 days?
Depending where you're, yes, you in Vegas, you'll get it in 2 days. Yes. And I'm trying to work on this. I'm working on it to ship cheese, to have the option for the wine store to add the cheese on it. So I'm working on that. We'll see. But it's going to have to be after the summer because of the heat.
Yeah. So when you're shipping like the wines that need to be served cold, are they shipped to you with cold packs?
No, that's what we don't ship in the summer because it ups the price on the shipping. So just to keep it low, we just don't. And so, but you do get the sparkling wines to you not in the summer without any issues. And if anything, if a wine is corked or something is funny about it, we always send you a replacement for free, of course, and still refund you. I mean, we stand by our wine, so.
I appreciate that, and I love your wine. Wow, Francis, we're kicking up the clock here, but I am so grateful to have you on here. Head over to veganwines.com and order some vegan wine. They are amazing, all handpicked by you. And if you use Vegans Baby as your discount code, you will save 15%. We've got some other stuff coming up that we'll be sharing later that we're doing together. And I'm just Francis Gonzalez. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution. Thank you for making it easier to be vegan. And I love talking to you. I could talk to you forever.
No, I love talking to you and thank you for this. I mean, I love sharing as much as I can about it. And, you know, people should enjoy good wines, you know?
And actually, speaking of that really quick, if you go to vegansbaby.com, there are 2 articles you wrote, one about what's in your wine, and then a list of, I think, 5 wines that you love that are vegan. So that's over at vegansbaby.com, veganwines.com. Where else can people find you?
Where else? That's it, pretty much, except for wholesale. Despacito Distributive, because we're a wholesale as well in New York and California.
Congratulations. And what's your Instagram and your Facebook?
My Vegan Wines. Everything for Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, My Vegan Wines.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, Frances. Thank you all for tuning into The Good Fork, and we will see you next time.
Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of The Good Fork. I am host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby. I appreciate you all so much. For more on this episode and other show notes, head over to vegansbaby.com and click on The Good Fork podcast. And for more vegan dining, vegan news, and where to go eat in Vegas and beyond, head over to vegansbaby.com. Have a great one.